I'm Nathan Cones here with your look at the midday news for this Friday, May 15th, 2026. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources has issued an administrative consent order to the city of Lorville over violations of its wastewater discharge permit and ordered the city to pay a $2,000 penalty. The order stems from violations at its wastewater treatment plant in Calhoun County. The facility, a three-cell lagoon system, discharges treated water into an unnamed tributary of Cedar Creek. According to the DNR, the city exceeded permitted limits for pollutants, including chloride, total suspended solids, and E. coli. The most recent permit, issued in 2018, required the city to meet chloride limits beginning July 1st of 2023. The department then documented multiple violations between that date and March of 2026. A notice of violation was issued in February 2024, and inspections in 2020 and 2025 also identified separate compliance concerns. The consent order resolves the violation without litigation while requiring the city to address those ongoing compliance issues. The Carroll County GOP hosted a town hall last night out at Swan Lake for primary voters, featuring the candidates in the only contested local race for Carroll County Republicans. The forum was moderated by District 11 State Representative Craig Williams of Manning and featured incumbent supervisor Stephanie Houseman and Carroll County Sheriff Ken Pingree, who are both seeking the party's nomination for the District 4 seat. The first question of the evening's program concerned the candidates' approaches to elected officials and county staff's compensation. Pingree says it's a balancing act between a reasonable budget and quality, qualified employees.
It comes down to did away with the comp board for elected officials. So more or less it's fallen upon the Board of Supervisors to determine that. I'd be very open to sitting down with each department head and working here as long as I have. I have a very good understanding of what each office does and how they operate. And I'd be very open, and I think the whole board would, for that fact, of sitting down with each elected official and discussing, you know, what they think is fair for themselves and also for their employees that work there. And you'd also have to take into account cost of living, all that stuff. But it's nothing that can't be worked out. Easy to solve. I mean, you can't give everybody the world, but you've got to keep them happy so they stay there. And that's one thing I'm very interested in doing, is maintaining the employees that we have. We have a great courthouse, great county engineer's office, Swan Lake Conservation Department. We just have great county employees, and I want to retain all of them.
According to Houseman, budget season is the most challenging part of being a supervisor, and she says she tries to keep taxpayers in focus for every decision.
I feel currently we have a board of supervisors that's very conservative. We do appreciate our staff, most importantly, 100%. We are very blessed in Carroll County. But with that, we also answer to the 20,000 people that live in Carroll County, and if we went around and gave large raises to everybody, well, enjoy your property taxes, because now they're through the roof. We also have great insurance. They get FICA, IFRS. We pay 85% in the insurance plan, so you have to factor that into it. And at the end of the year, our auditor, she does a great job, she sends out a summary to say, this is what you paid for your health insurance, this is what the county has paid. So you do need to put that into consideration. I know for myself and some of my counterparts, we have froze our salaries, because I truly strongly believe that when you are elected, you know what you're making. You know what you are doing as a civil servant to the public, what you're taking office as, and you know that it's a four-year term.
Later on in the town hall, the question of future government consolidation was presented and what Carroll County and the supervisors should do to keep Carroll County relevant for the region. Pingree says some services are easier to consolidate than others, and it would take years to implement.
I think some dispatch centers to start combining. Carroll County definitely wants to be first and foremost in that. I mean, I want to be the hub county for all our surrounding counties. I don't want to take our services anywhere else. I want those services to come to us, and we provide them. But I think communication centers, law enforcement, perhaps. But we're talking about you're going to have to rewrite the whole Iowa code in order to do this. It's not going to happen overnight. It's been talked about. The Iowa code provides every county has a sheriff. Unless they just completely combine counties, and I know that's been talked about, doing away with 99 counties and going to 33. Will I see that in my lifetime? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But it's just something we need to be cognizant of. But there are services we can share.
Houseman says Carroll County already participates in some service sharing agreements with other counties, from housing prisoners from Polk County to IT and environment health staff time.
And it's not that you can't share service, because you always want to be a good steward. You want to be a good neighbor, but sometimes it's not in the best interest of your own county, because then our services go down. I agree secondary roads could maybe be something that you could look at sharing some roadway, but the tax base in Audubon County is way less than Carroll County. So they don't have the kind of roads that we have. And I know our roads aren't perfect, and you can go down to an area where I live and it's washboarded. But the guys are doing the best that they can, and we do have good guys out in those motor graders. Shared services, the recorder, you know, this has been talked at the State House. That might be an office that might be gone. And the services might be done online, because it's a lot of tickets and renewals and permits. Again, bring back some of that DOGE mentality. We do need to lock it in, and if we can create efficiencies.
The supervisor candidates answered more than a dozen questions at Thursday's forum, and a video of the entire event is available through the Carroll County, Iowa Republicans Facebook page, and a link to that and the video is included with this story on our website. Early voting for those June 2nd primaries, by the way, opened May 13th and will remain open until primary day itself. And a pending lawsuit against the world's largest children's gaming company, Roblox, will move forward after an Iowa judge declined to dismiss the case. The Iowa Attorney General's office announced Thursday that the Iowa District Court for Polk County ruled this week that the state's consumer fraud lawsuit may proceed with its deception and unfair practice claims. The lawsuit, brought by Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd, alleges Roblox misled parents about the safety of its platform and the effectiveness of tools designed to protect children. According to the complaint, the company falsely claimed it reviewed all uploaded images, audio, and video, misrepresented the amount of violent and sexual content on the platform, and used unfair practices such as allowing adult and child communication by default. The court also rejected Roblox's argument that its platform should not fall under the Iowa Consumer Fraud Act because it is free to play. The judge noted the company profits through in-game currency and user data as well. Byrd says companies like Roblox that make false promises to parents and make money off our kids need to be held accountable. Roblox is a playground for predators and breeding ground for hypersexual, violent content. According to online usage trackers, Roblox boasts an estimated 144 million active daily users, 70% of which are believed to be under 18 years old. And we do need to step away for just a moment. Stick around. We've got more news. It's right after this on KCIM.
Baseball is more than a sport. It's about the people you're with and the memories you make. And every summer, that tradition continues with the Iowa Cubs. Bring your family, bring your friends, and settle in for a night of baseball in downtown Des Moines. From the first pitch to the last out, there's something special about being together. Come watch future stars chase their dreams and be part of a tradition that never gets old. Explore ticket options at iowacubs.com.
To the class of 2026, congratulations from Pringer Slumberland and Flooring America. Your future is full of possibilities. Go forward with courage, confidence, and excitement for what's next. Congratulations from everyone at Pringer Slumberland and Flooring America.
Welcome back to KCIM's Midday News. I'm Nathan Cones reporting. The two Iowa Democrats running for the U.S. Senate used their final debate before the June primary to present themselves as the party's best general election option against Congresswoman Ashley Hinson, who is the very likely Republican Party pick for the nomination on the GOP side of things. State Senator Zach Walls of Coralville says Democrats need to win back the trust of rural and blue-collar voters, and he touted the endorsements he'd gotten from 27 different labor unions. State Rep. Josh Turek of Council Bluffs says independent voters will be the kingmakers in November, and he touted the endorsements that he's got last Friday from former Senator Tom Harkin. Just note that race has been particularly quiet overall compared to some of the other primary races that are ongoing, so it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. A lot of times I have a feeling one way or the other how a race is going to go, not that that means anything. I have no idea on how that race might end up. Looking elsewhere, Republican Congressman Randy Feenstra of Hull predicts the U.S. Senate will soon pass the E-15 bill that cleared the House earlier this week. Feenstra says the margin on that House vote was important.
I talked to the Senate leadership last night. They're really excited because it was a bipartisan measure. So we had 120 Republicans support it. We had 95 Democrats.
Feenstra says President Trump and Vice President Vance are using their leverage to push the bill across the finish line.
We got the administration pushing it. We also have the Senate leadership pushing it. We're going to get this thing done, and it's going to become law here very shortly.
The bill does away with the EPA rule that cites smog concerns as the basis for preventing fuels with 15% blends of ethanol from being sold during the summer. The National Corn Growers Association, the ethanol industry, and the American Petroleum Institute all back the bill, but some refineries are objecting, arguing it'll make it harder to get waivers from the federal mandate to blend ethanol into gasoline.
The mid-refiners were playing the system, manipulating the system, did not want to ever go down the E15 path or biofuels path, and this now creates an opportunity that they have to.
Feenstra says the group of U.S.-based refineries that object to the bill tend to be owned by foreigners.
I'm all about America and about American-made domestic energy, so these foreign companies, I don't care. They were a thorn to us trying to get this passed, and I just applaud the biofuels industry and API, which is the large and small refiners that came together and created a solution to finally get this passed.
The American Petroleum Institute released a statement about the bill saying year-round E15 is critical to ensuring certainty and clarity for refineries while expanding choices at the pump. And that is going to be wrapping up your look at the midday news for this Friday, May 15th, 2026. I'm Nathan Cones reporting. Have a great weekend, everyone.